Why do the nations rage, and the people plot a vain thing? The kings of the earth set themselves, and the rulers take counsel together against the Lord and against his anointed, saying, Let us break their bonds in pieces and cast away their cords from us. He who sits in the heavens shall laugh. The Lord shall hold them in derision. He shall speak to them in his wrath and distress them in his deep displeasure. Yet I have set my king on my holy hill of Zion. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ever bless and praise your name for being so gracious and kind to us as to set over us the most kind and gracious, the most merciful and loving, compassionate and abounding in mercy and truth, our Lord Jesus Christ, as our King and our Good Shepherd. We thank and bless you, Father, for giving him to us to guide us and to care for us, to provide all of our needs through our lives and even for our very souls, forgiving our sin, building us up in the image of God. We pray, Lord, that his purposes might go from strength to strength in us and for us and for your glory's sake, that we might be more like him who truly worships you, Father, as man like one of us. We pray, Lord, that we'd be made more like him and that we would obey him better and worship him better and love him better. O Lord, guide us in these things, we pray, by your Holy Spirit, and bless this hour to us, that it might be to your glory and to our good. Amen. Turn with me then in your Bibles for our first reading from Isaiah and chapter 6. We were in chapter 60 this morning, weren't we? But we're in Isaiah chapter 6 now this evening. We'll read that chapter. And once we've read that, we'll read Revelation and chapter 4. So Isaiah chapter 6 and from verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. So I said, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which he had taken with the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it, and said, Behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, and your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, Here am I, send me. And he said, Go, and tell this people, keep on hearing, but do not understand. Keep on seeing, but do not perceive. Make the heart of this people dull, and their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and return and be healed. Then I said, Lord, how long? And he answered, Until the cities are laid waste and without inhabitant. The houses are without a man, and the land is utterly desolate. The Lord has removed men far away, and the forsaken places are many in the midst of the land. But yet a tenth will be in it, and will return, and be for a consuming. As a terebinth tree or as an oak, whose stump remains when it is cut down, so the holy seed shall be its stump. And then turning to Revelation and chapter 4, here we have many, many years after the prophet Isaiah, we have the apostle John, and he sees a scene extremely similar to that one that Isaiah described all those years before. Revelation and chapter 4, and we'll read from verse 1. After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, "Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this." Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. 7 lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the 7 spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were 4 living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. The 4 living creatures, each having 6 wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, "Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, "You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created." Amen. May God bless the reading of his word to us. Turn with me then in your Bibles to Isaiah in chapter 6, and we'll take as our text this evening the first few words of verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up. I think I'm right in saying that it was on this Sunday last year that I was stood in this pulpit preaching an end-of-year sermon on Isaiah 6. I think I'm right. But we have a different sermon here. So if you remember that one, don't worry. We've got a different one here, something that the Lord has given to me to give to you. It's a message about the security, the permanence, the reassurance of the knowledge that Jesus Christ is high and lifted up and sitting on the throne of his Father in heaven. That's what we have for us this evening. And there's something locked up in each of these phrases, something marvelous. Everything is so deliberate, so purposeful, so wonderful. And I hope the Lord will hear my prayer as I ask him to help me to open these things up with you, that we may marvel together at the things that God has put in his word for us. The first little phrase we have is in the year that King Uzziah died. And then we have, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne. And then we have high and lifted up. The first one then, in the year that King Uzziah died. Why do you think this is here, this little phrase? Is it just a little time marker so we might know the year in which it was written? I'm pretty sure you can narrow it down. I can't remember what it was. I remember finding out once. You can find out what year, or within a year or two, when this was written. Is that all it's for? Is it just a date? I put it to you that this represents to Isaiah, his readers, and to us then as God's people, that this little phrase represents to us a year of great uncertainty and trouble. It's less so the case today, but generally speaking in history, national peace and stability is tied up with the king or with the queen, with the monarch. And when they die, it introduces a big upset, a major upheaval in the country, and it introduces some uncertainty about the future. It often spells trouble. You get that especially when you read through the Book of Kings. As soon as somebody dies, somebody else is in there quick. Sometimes they set up the stage before they die because they know how much turbulence it brings. Especially in the kingdom of Israel in the north, they were kings that were in and out all the time. As soon as someone died, they'd be replaced, and they'd be killed and replaced and killed and replaced. And it was very upsetting for the nation to have kings die. Now, Uzziah was one of the longest reigning kings. I think he might have actually been the longest, with a reign of 52 years. He's a king of stability, a symbol of stability in the country for God's people. He weathered, we know in the prophets, an enormous earthquake. He weathered the swapping, the ins and outs of all the different monarchs in the surrounding nations. His rule was generally prosperous. He built plenty. He did loads of good things. The economy grew, the country grew, and everything seemed to be going swell. Some of you will know he didn't end too well, but generally his rule was good. He did right in the sight of the Lord, says 2 Kings. And so it was for all those years when there was change and when there was upset and differences in the nations around, when there was all things going on, for God's people, Uzziah was a constant. But now he's dead. And everything that he stood for is now up in the air. What's going to happen? What does the future look like? In the year that King Uzziah died, everyone was really uncertain about the future. And this year, 2021, has been a bit like one of those years. Lots of uncertainty. Plenty of distress. I don't know if you can remember much of the news over the last year. Some of you have decided, I'm not watching the news anymore. It's very depressing, very upsetting. You put it on, I can't watch it for too much, because it's always COVID. How many people have died? It's about the royal family and how it's been torn asunder by Harry and Meghan and Oprah Winfrey. It's about Capitol Hill, the bastion of democracy in the most democratic peak sort of just alpha Western state, the USA, and this riots and it's torn apart. We remember Myanmar came up in the news as well, a coup. I think there was one again, even this week. And the upset, the death, the turmoil. And so this year has been one of those years for the world and for us. Distress and uncertainty. Nobody knows what's going to happen next week, let alone next year. And it's been a very long time since we've had a good year. It's been a long time since we've been optimistic about what the future holds. And so this upsetting year for Uzziah and for God's people, the year in which King Uzziah died, it came in the middle of a distressing period. Not just that year, but the whole period. From David and Solomon, those early kings, right up to the exile was a period called the Kings, isn't it? You can read about that in the book of the Kings in the Old Testament. We're not too familiar with them, but if you've got some familiarity with them, how would you describe those years? How would you describe those books? The events which happened between Solomon and the exiles. What a mess. What an in and an out, a changing about. What an up and a down. All those kings and queens came and went, and they were generally speaking a patchwork of very bad and less bad. It was a mess. In these generations, there was an unsettling sense that everything was going downhill. And everything will sooner or later go catastrophically wrong. World powers were moving in and out. Various prophets like Isaiah and Amos and Elijah, they were all doom and gloom. They were talking about exile and going far away. You had Egypt and Syria and Assyria and Babylon and Persia and Edom and Moab all on this geopolitical chessboard. And God's people were just a little pawn. And they were very fragile. And you just got this sense that there's going to be a big reshuffle soon, and nobody knows how turbulent it's going to be. So what does the future look like? Well, in the year that King Uzziah died, it was very uncertain, but it's not looking great. How long do you think it's been since the future was bright for us in Wales or the UK or the world? When we think about the news in 2021, we remember COVID, riots, Brexit, Afghanistan. And when we imagine the news in 2022, what do you think we will see? I'd actually be quite interested to think what you expect will happen in 2022. You can tell me later. But we might be imagining climate crisis, fuel crisis, a struggle in Westminster, thinking Russia and Ukraine and China, more COVID, of course. Generally speaking, we have this feeling that things are tending in the direction of turbulence. What does the future look like? It's uncertain, but it doesn't look great. And this might be personally the case too, and don't worry, I'm about to cheer up. But it might be the case for you personally as well. I don't know how your year has been. Has it featured much change? Has it featured much tragedy, much joy, much uncertainty? What does the future look like for you? Well, in the year that King Uzziah died, it means turbulence, means unsettling uncertainty. So there you have Isaiah's introduction to this chapter, a year of uncertainty in a period of decline. Now, as I asked a moment ago, why do you think Isaiah bothers with that phrase? Why doesn't he start with, "I saw the Lord"? That sounds much better, doesn't it? Why doesn't he start with that? Well, Isaiah is setting the scene. He's about to show us a rock of unmovable certainty, a permanent assurance of peace, of prosperity, of hope. And as we look up to that, as we look up to that which is so steady and unmoving, that it reassures us in the midst of all of that unsettling disturbance, the Holy Spirit wants us to remember that context, the year in which Uzziah died, an unsettling year, an uncertain year. The Holy Spirit wants us to remember that this is the context in which we see Jesus Christ enthroned. Like we saw this morning, we need to know the darkness from which the Lord Jesus Christ will shine his light. Remember how the Apostle Peter walked on the water with his eyes fixed on Jesus. Do you remember that from Sunday school? It was a great one to draw, wasn't it? You get plenty of blue in that drawing. That storm was not a mistake. The scriptures teach us that Jesus is our rock, steady foundation, our assurance, our comfort and strength in the storm. It is in the context of all that unsettling disturbance and upset that Jesus Christ and his value really shines out brightly. So let's turn to that then. In this next phrase of Isaiah's, "I saw the Lord sitting on a throne." And this obviously is going to make all the difference to God's people, doesn't it? Everything immediately just plops into perspective. Like this morning again, the light is shining in the darkness. Having seen the darkness, the light shines and we see that contrast. When Isaiah sees Jesus on his throne, the things of earth will grow strangely dim. Now, why am I so confidently saying that Isaiah sees Jesus on his throne? I know some of you might be thinking that question is perfectly legitimate, because after all, he says here, "I saw the Lord sitting on his throne." Well, allow me just briefly to mention to you John chapter 12. You can look it up later if you want. I don't want to get carried away at the moment with it. But in John chapter 12, we have an insight to Isaiah chapter 6. And the apostle tells us that Isaiah said these things when he saw the Lord Jesus in his glory. Isaiah sees Jesus, the King of heaven, on his throne. As it says in Revelation, when we read that a moment ago, he who lives forever and ever. So what difference do you think this is going to make to Isaiah and to us, seeing the Lord Jesus on his throne? What difference will that make to the gloomy and pessimistic lives that we live? I don't know, maybe you're a massive optimist and I'm a cynic. Maybe I'm just preaching to myself. But what difference does Jesus make to our gloomy periods in which we live? Well, it's basically everything, isn't it? But let me just give you two. The first one is seeing how temporary things are versus how everlasting the Lord Jesus is. Uzziah, as we mentioned earlier, is the longest reigning monarch. And now he's dead. He was so temporary. All those decades are suddenly a blip on the ocean of history. He was a mere vapor. I think that's from the wisdom literature, isn't it? That man's life is just a vapor. All of his achievements, all of his cities that he built and so forth, where are they now? I don't know if any are left. I think they are. I think they've got coins with his face on them and things. But it's just dusty bits of clay in the desert or bricks in museums. Whereas in contrast, Isaiah sees Jesus who lives forever and ever, Revelation says. Tell me this, while Uzziah was on his throne for all those 52 years, where was the Lord Jesus? He wasn't waiting for Uzziah to die so he could have a throne. He was always on his throne. All those centuries leading up to the day when Uzziah, at the age of 16, takes the throne. Where was the Lord Jesus? He was on his throne, who lives forever and ever. And every moment since then, since Isaiah penned chapter 6, and since this morning, and since the beginning of this service, and right now, where is the Lord Jesus? He is sat upon his throne in highest heaven, who lives forever and ever. As we heard yesterday from Dad in Matthew, we have an everlasting king who outlasts and overrules all the kingdoms of this earth. So when we think about the worries of this last year, the turbulence in our families, the turbulence in our country, when we look forward now to the future and we are remembering the turbulence of the past, expecting turbulence in the future, we can remember, because of this phrase, I saw the Lord sitting on his throne, that all these things are a blip. A blip in the grand scheme of things. Some of you might remember the Cuban Missile Crisis. Learning how to seek refuge from nuclear bombs under your school desks. Some of you might remember the conflict in Yugoslavia, Watergate being on the telly, the fall of the USSR, the uncertainty of entering the EU, leaving the EU. Not many of us, but some of us might remember the events of World War II, Iraq, and all of these things which occupied our minds and the news channels and so upsetting and disturbing and made us fear for the future. They're just distant memories now. They're so temporary when we compare them to the kingship of the Lord Jesus Christ, which never changes, which is always permanent and sure and certain. History is hurtling through inconsequential and temporary upheavals which rock us and shake us to the foundations. And they're all hurtling through these things, one after another, until all things are put underneath Jesus' feet permanently. Till we are all there prostrate before his throne, and we remember that all of this is temporary, and he is eternally on his throne. Every event which threatens our peace, everything that makes us lose sleep, everything that makes us doubt whether the future is bright, is in the service of his providence. It is all in the service of his glory. And it's all in the service of the good of his people. Seeing the Lord Jesus on his throne gives that perspective. So we've got the temporary versus the everlasting. Seeing the Lord Jesus sat on his throne gives us that perspective. Another one is chaos versus control. And after this, we'll move on to the next little bit. Where do you think Uzziah was when Isaiah wrote this chapter? Well, he was crumbling away somewhere in a grave, wasn't he? How do you think God's people, our fathers in the faith, how do you think they were feeling when Isaiah wrote this chapter? They're probably crumbling away as well, a bit troubled, a bit nervous about the future, because you see, nobody seems to be in control. We all seem to be at the mercy of chance. One man has spent a lifetime now, this king, with his 52 years or whatever it was, he spends his lifetime seeking to finally achieve a semblance of control. And then he goes and kicks the bucket. And it's all lost. And everything's up in the air again. And nobody knows who's in charge. Back to the drawing board, that pendulum of kings and events. And again, in contrast, in glorious contrast, Isaiah sees Jesus sitting on his throne in total control. Before the Lord Jesus left this earth to go back to be with his Father in heaven, he said, "All authority in heaven and on earth, all authority has been given to me." In John 5, he's speaking about his relationship with his Father. It's a glorious chapter. And one of the words that he says in there is that the Father has committed all judgment to the Son. He's given it to me, all authority on heaven and on earth. And so we learn with Isaiah, as we see the Lord Jesus sat on his throne and contemplate what that means, that we needn't worry about the future. We must not worry about the future. Our lives, our families, our countries, or the cause of God in the country. We aren't at the mercy of the next variant or the next terror attack. We're not at the mercy of chance. We're at the mercy of Jesus Christ, the most merciful and good shepherd there could ever be. All is in the hands of the Lord Jesus, who sits on his throne and who would sooner die than see you die. Are you worried about your life? Are you worried about 2022, about your family and your future? Allow me to suggest this as a small application on the way, and then we'll move into the final part. If you're worried, take that to our Father in prayer. Take your worry to him. Think about him. Think about our Lord Jesus and take your worries to him and tell him what they are. Cast your burdens upon him because he cares for you. Pray to him and you can repent of your worry. "I am sorry," say, "for worrying when you have given me such a Saviour who sits on the throne of total power and gives me no reason to worry at all." And trust him. Ask him to help you to trust him. And we can pray about that at the end, if I remember. Now let's move into this last little phrase. Isaiah says, "In the year that King Uzziah died, all that uncertainty, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, all that certainty and reassurance, high and lifted up." High and lifted up. That is typical of our Lord Jesus. When he appears, whether personally in his incarnation or in types and figures in the Old Testament, he is often lifted up or exalted. What do you think the significance is of that? Being lifted up is the Lord Jesus' glory. It's where he belongs. It's the posture in which he is almost standardized, being lifted up. Being lifted up and exalted is the place from which the Lord Jesus does his greatest works. I'll read to you a few verses here. Excuse me. In Acts in chapter 2, we have the Apostle Peter preaching about the Lord Jesus Christ, and he uses the same words. In Acts 2, verse 33, he says about the Lord Jesus being exalted, being lifted up to the right hand of God our Father, and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, he poured out this, which you now see and hear. See, being lifted up is the position from which he sends the Holy Spirit upon the church. And in chapter 5 of Acts, and from verse 31, we've got here the apostle preaching. He says, him, the Lord Jesus, God has exalted to his right hand, lifted up to his right hand, to be Prince and Saviour, to give repentance to Israel and the forgiveness of sins. Being lifted up is the position from which Jesus Christ dispenses repentance and faith to all those who need it, which is all of us. When the Lord Jesus was here, walking on this planet, in this place, with us, people saw him, they knew him as Jesus from Nazareth, but when is it that they worshipped him as God and King? It was when he was lifted up and exalted within their hearts, in their minds, in their estimations, when they in their own selves exalted him and lifted him up and enthroned him in their hearts and minds, then they worshipped him. And when did he do his greatest work? When he was amongst us. But when he was lifted up upon the cross of Calvary. Lifted up is when he does his greatest work. Got that in John 3 when the Lord is speaking to Nicodemus. He says, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, that great type of Christ in the book of Numbers, even so must I, the Son of Man, be lifted up. And in John chapter 8, we've got it again in verse 28. Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he. And then finally, and I'll give you one more, John chapter 12 and verse 32. If I am lifted up from the earth, Jesus says, I will draw all peoples to myself. So you see, every word here of Isaiah's in chapter 6 is so meaningful. The year in which Uzziah died gives that context of such uncertainty against which Jesus is so reassuring, so comforting. That sitting on his throne is the substance of that reassurance, that he is enthroned, he is the king, there is no rival, there's no replacement, there's no one who can assail him or take his throne. He is in control. And the high and lifted up is that posture from which Jesus Christ will do his greatest works. When he is lifted up, then he does that best work of his. So it's when you and I are going to see Jesus as lifted up, when we take him seriously, when he is highly honored and highly placed, exalted in our own lives, that everything is going to take its perspective in 2022. Isaiah had that experience, didn't he? Do you remember what is it that the angels said? They said, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. The whole earth is filled with his glory. Is that how it says in your Bibles? The whole earth is full of his glory. You know, that phrase, it could be more like this. The fullness of the earth is his glory. The fullness of the earth is his glory. What's happening here is that having seen Jesus enthroned and lifted up, Isaiah looks around at all of that uncertainty and decline and turmoil and upset, and he sees the glory of God because Jesus has been lifted up in his eyes. When we see Jesus lifted up in the next year, then we can look around at this world encouraged, hopeful, rather than despondent. Let me give you a couple of examples. When you look at the news, do you see the kingdoms of this earth vying for supremacy? Do you see that? People moving, troops or politicians or whatever. Do you see that happening? The kingdoms of this earth trying to get one up on each other. When we turn to Scripture, when we have Jesus Christ in our minds, when he is lifted up in our estimation, then we see, when we look at the same things, that the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Do you worry that so few are coming to church, that so few are hearing the gospel? When we see Jesus Christ lifted up, when he is exalted in our lives, in our estimations, in the way that we think and live for him, when he is high up there at the top, we remember that the fields are white for harvest, and that he, being lifted up, he says, draws all people to himself. Are you fearful that COVID threatens our health and our way of life? It's quite natural. But when we see Jesus Christ lifted up, we remember that it is he who heals our diseases in life and preserves our souls in death. You know, being lifted up, high and lifted up, as Isaiah saw him and writes him down here, that is Jesus' glory. The position from which he does his best work, at the position in which he is most honored. That means from everlasting, he is lifted up upon the throne of heaven. And from there, he does his work of creation and providence and sustenance. In our days, he is lifted up upon the throne which is his cross. From there, he does his great work of redemption and the forgiveness of sins and the grafting into God's family forever. And today, he is lifted up, enthroned in our hearts and in our minds to rule as the king, to exercise perfect control as a wonderfully good shepherd in our lives, conforming us more and more and more into his image by the Holy Spirit. And here in this place, in this building, in 2022, we pray to God that as we gather to worship his Son in the Holy Spirit to his glory, there, being lifted up, the Lord Jesus Christ crucified will gather all peoples to himself. Do you see the difference that is made then to our days and to our lives when we see Jesus Christ sitting on his throne, high and lifted up? Do you need to see him again? Do you need to lift him up in your own heart, your own mind, the way you think about him, the way you live for him? Does he need to be raised higher? When that happens, when you do that, everything is put into perspective. We remember him who lives forever and ever. We remember him who is in control. We remember him who is worthy of our obsession. So let us resolve then as a church, individually as well, looking at 2022, to have our eyes lifted and fixed upon Jesus Christ, God's Son, the Saviour of the world. Amen. Amen. May God bless us. I'll just read to you a few words here from Hebrews. Some of you will know exactly where I'm going. And then I'll pray briefly before we sing to close. Let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank and bless you again for the gift of Jesus Christ to us to be our King and our Saviour. We bless you, Lord God, that you are revealing yourself to us through him and by your Holy Spirit day by day, that as we read his words and as we contemplate what you have done for us through him, as we commune with him in the church, Lord, we are seeing you and your purposes in this world, and we grow in our understanding and our wisdom. We become more like him who is so like you. Oh, Lord God, we pray that he would be lifted up in our lives, that we'd obey him and love him, that every thought would be held captive to him, that we would do good deeds in his name and for his glory's sake, that the very ways in which we live would be honouring to him. We ask you, Lord, especially that you would bless our church in the coming year, that the Lord Jesus would be high and lifted up and enthroned in this place, that we would submit ourselves to him and love him with all of our heart, our mind, our soul, and our strength, that you would fulfil that promise that you have made, Father, that you should send labourers into the harvest and draw all peoples to your Son, lifted up as crucified, the Saviour of the world, in whose name we pray. Amen.